Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. First Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man of Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, or Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say unto him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as they were conversant, as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me, behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it be even unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and all the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said unto Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thine advice, and blessed be thou, which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought up, and said unto her, Go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning that when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Don't you just love that passage? That's a great, great, great passage. I took a long time on the psalm reading, and I don't want to do this passage injustice. There are a couple of things that are really, really important. We say in our standards that an oath, when we take an oath, that it is an act that is done before God. It is an act of religious worship. And so oaths ought never to be entered into unadvisedly, rashly, and so on. But that there must be sufficient weight and moment, and that if we swear out an oath, a vow, and if we do it not, it is sin to us, except it be a sinful vow. And if it be a sinful vow, then it is a sin to perform it. Now, you've heard me tell you that before. But did you see it in the narrative? Were you following along? Did you hear what David said? when his young men were insulted. Now, here's what happened, children. You may not understand what's happening here. Nabal was a rancher. And he had a ranch that was so big you couldn't see it, all of it, from his house. I've told you about the two men that are sitting comparing their ranches one day. One's from Calgary and one's from Texas. And the guy from Texas says to the guy from Calgary, "My ranch is so big that when I get up in the morning and I get in my pickup, and it takes me all day to drive around my ranch." And the man from Calgary said, "Yeah, I used to have a truck like that." Yeah. Nabal's ranch was so big that you couldn't get around it in a day. It was off from his property. It was over near Carmel. Nabal lived somewhere else, but over in Carmel was this huge, expansive ranch. And David's men were wandering around that area, and they met with Nabal's sheep shearers in the ranch. Now, sheep shearing is a vulnerable business. And so while they were shearing their sheep, David and his men stayed with the shepherds of Nabal and were a wall of protection to them day and night. Rather than coming by and taking sheep as they would, they left all of his stuff alone. As a matter of fact, instead of taking from him, they protected everything that he had. So that's what they did in the wilderness. And so they're going to Nabal to ask a kindness of him. "Since we have done you this service, how about a little favor in return? Because we have no sure home at this point, but we are in the wilderness." And so they come to him and they ask him in the name of David. He knows who David is because he responds with David the son of Jesse, although they don't use the term son of Jesse to him. David was a famous man in Israel. And so he turns to the servants of him and he says, "Oh yeah, you know, there's lots of servants that have left their master's home and have been beggars and wanderers on the earth. Why should I give you any of my stuff? Get out of here." That's what's going on here. And so David, when he hears that, he tells his young men to gird on their swords and not to be outdone. He himself girds on his own sword. And it's kind of a funny phrase in King James English. It says, you know, "We're going to slay everyone that pisseth against the wall." That's all the males. That, you know, it's kind of funny to our ears. In King James English, that was a particularly fine way to say that. It's a little bit, you know, to us. So not only does David say that, though, he makes a vow to do it. I don't know if you caught that or not. In verse 21, "Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by morning light, any that pisseth against the wall." That's an oath. So David swears out an oath at that point. So David has vowed to kill all the males in Nabal's house at this point. And when Abigail goes out to meet him, he's on his way. There is no contemplation. He's made a vow and he is on his way. And Abigail comes forth with a gift, but with something much more than the gift of, you know, raisin and fig cakes and sheared sheep. She comes to him with wisdom. And you know, this is something about David that is so very rare in people today, especially men, and especially men that are in charge of things. He swears out an oath, and he is turned aside. I tell you, that's affecting. He turns aside. He has sworn out an oath. He's on his way. He's already put on his sword. He's already strapped on his weapon. And Abigail comes, and the prophet king listens to reason. That's an amazing thing. That is an amazing, amazing circumstance. How many of us, when our color gets up, are willing to turn from that? How many of us, when we start off with vehemence, we set our mind, how many of us are able to turn back from that? David was. He heard wisdom. He heard reason. And he knew that for him to fulfill that vow at that point would be sin. And he turned from it. Are you that kind of person? Or once your color gets up, does it stay up until you've exhausted it? Good question. Hard question. Because many times that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves that we've made a decision and we're going to stick to it no matter what the casualties are. Not David. David turns from his anger. He turns even from the vow that he had made to the Lord, knowing that it was but a sinful vow. And the Lord vindicated him in that. The Lord did not bring him into judgment because he turned away from that vow. The Lord vindicated it in him in that Nabal died about 11 days later. Not of David's hand. The Lord smote him. The Lord struck him and took him out of the way. And not only did the Lord give him all of the males of Nabal's house, yeah, he gave him his wife. That wondrous and wise woman that came forth with words of wisdom to turn the heart of the king, David said, I got to have that in my house. I got to have that kind of wisdom in my house. It's a great passage. We don't have any more time to go over it, but just think on the a man like David, a warrior king, whose color is up, and yet turns aside and shows mercy instead. And here's wisdom, and here's reason. How many times, children and parents, in the midst of an argument, when our color is up, will you hear reason? Will we? So many times we do not. So many times we persist. It's a great passage. All right. Thus ends the reading. Let's stand.